Hello, this is Dee with the Vermilion County News for April 23rd, 2018. We'll begin our reading today with the front page article entitled It's UNF, Unfortunate, City Council Struggles with Recycling Program by Jennifer Bailey. The lack of recycling in the Vermilion County frustrates Doug Toole, the County Health Department's Public Health Administrator. Since the county took away recycling bins in 2009 due to cost and the loss of funding, and Bryant Industries closed its bins in 2015 due to abuse of people dumping garbage and other items, Toole says he regularly has an extra garbage bag he puts out at his Westville home containing items he used to recycle locally, including cardboard boxes. Way too much of it is going to the landfills, Toole said, about items that should be recycled. He adds it's unfortunate. Most larger cities in the state, Danville's size and larger, have some type of curbside or drop-off recycling. Hoopston area residents have free curbside pickup through its private garbage hauler, Republic Services. Hoopston Mayor Bill Crusenberry said the free recycling probably started in the late 1980s or early 1990s. It was part of a deal with Allied Waste to use a landfill near Hoopston. Allied Waste is now part of Republic Services. We partnered with them and the EPA, Environmental Protection Agency, to get them cited. He said, adding that there were host fees and money involved. Free recycling every other week had been provided ever since. Crusenberry estimates maybe half of the 2,200 to the EPA agency involved. Customers participate in the recycling program. Some Vermilion County residents, including those in Fithian and Tilton, also have curbside pickup through Schaefer Sanitary Company of Urbana. Since 1994, Vermilion County had worked to create a successful recycling program in accordance with its state-mandated solid waste management plan. The first drop-off site opened in 1996, and the program expanded to include 7 drop-off sites across the county and regular events that include special collections and educational programs. Drop-off sites had been in Danville, Catlin, Georgetown, Westville, near Kickapoo State Park, Bismarck, and Sidell. The cost got prohibitive for us, Toole said. Costs, lack of citywide interest, and the fear of people dumping garbage in the bins have deterred the city from starting its own recycling program. The city conducted a recycling survey in 2009, and 500 of the 685 or so respondents said they'd be willing to pay $5 to $10 a month for a recycling subscription service. Former Public Works Director Doug Ahrens said at that time the city needed a minimum of 1,200 subscribers to make the recycling program financially feasible. Danville Superintendent of Solid Waste and Fleet Maintenance, Carl Carpenter, said it's the right thing to do, but it's not free. Toole said there's not a lot of heat right now with any talks about another recycling program in Vermilion County. Toole said there's not been a great response in villages and municipalities to possibly switch garbage haulers and have a recycling program. At the recent home show where the health department and Keep Vermilion County Beautiful had a booth, Toole said individual residents would come up and say they'd love to have recycling back. He said he told them to talk to your elected officials and let them know you'd be willing to pay a little bit more for it. The City of Danville website suggests driving to Urbana to dispose of household recyclables. Carpenter said in Danville, the city would need another truck for recycling, estimated at $150,000, and staff and a site to sort the recycled material. We're not prepared for curbside recycling, said Mayor Scott Eisenhower. City officials also had looked into a drop-off site, which also was costly, Carpenter said. Eisenhower said talks have started up again about how the city could improve its solid waste operations in taking solid waste to the landfill and also possibly have a membership-based recycling drop-off location. Initial costs discussed have been $50 to $75 that a person might have to pay annually. The site would be fenced in and possibly be accessible with a key fob to prevent garbage and illegal dumping of materials. The county and city of Danville have had annual electronics recycling events. Carpenter said the city will again have another electronics recycling event in the fall. The first year saw a lot of people participate, with the number dropping off in the second year. He said by not having televisions and some other items in the garbage stream, it helps the city out in dumping fees. In one of the last years of the county recycling bins, the Danville bin saw 634 tons of materials recycled in 2007. This didn't include recycled cardboard. This adds to the dumping fees for the tons of solid waste the city disposes of with Republic Services, owner of the Brickyard landfill. Grow Vermilion Green. In 2016, a few local residents, including Stephanie Catcher and Lori DeYoung, started a Facebook group known as Grow Vermilion Green in order to mobilize community interest in getting recycling options back into the community. They post different recycling opportunities. We all had been very concerned about sustainability and recycling, DeYoung said. She said there are a number of people who feel the same way based on the almost 700 people who liked and followed their Facebook social media page. DeYoung said she and 10 to 15 others in Fithian, in addition to some in Tilton, now have curbside recycling with private hauler Schaefer Sanitary Company of Urbana. She said some villages make it difficult for outsiders to come in and do recycling, or people don't want to change garbage haulers or negotiate it with them. You have to be an advocate. I'm committed, she said. A lot of people are scared to try a new provider. DeYoung had been taking her recycling to Champaign County. I just wish Vermilion County could find a way to make it countywide, she said. It sure would be nice to make it citywide, she also said about Danville. Keep Vermilion County Beautiful Executive Director Brenda Adams adds, Vermilion County does seem to be behind the times when it comes to recycling. Unfortunately, due to the expense, it is cheaper to haul recyclables to our local landfills than haul them to a processor. I would love nothing more than to start recycling again. Bottom line is that when the city of Danville did the survey years ago, there wasn't enough people willing to participate in the curbside program to implement it. I would love to work with city and county officials to do another study on recycling. I think many more people now would be interested. Our next article is entitled Groups Schedule Earth Day Cleanup Events by Jennifer Bailey. Today is Earth Day. It was founded in 1970 as a day of education about environmental issues. The holiday sometimes extends into Earth Week, focused on green living. There are several events in the area today and coming up to mark Earth Day and clean up the area, including Oakwood Junior High teacher Damon Arrett has a group of students who will meet today at Kickapoo State Park across from the campground entrance. This year, the Oakwood Our America Voice, OAV students, started Trash Busters, a group aimed at cleaning up Kickapoo State Park. In conjunction with Earth Day, they are planning a cleanup from 3 to 4:30 p.m. today. OAV is a nonprofit organization that seeks to teach youth about democracy, civic engagement, and the democratic process through community problem solving. OAV students meet to identify an issue in their school or community to which they would like to bring about a positive change. They then work with their instructor to create a plan for researching and addressing the chosen issue. The group last year cleaned up a cemetery near the school. An Earth Day event and Vermilion County Conservation District Fair are both from 1 to 4 p.m. today in Kennekuk Environmental Education Center at Kennekuk County Park. At the Earth Day event, children of all ages can come out any time during the event and learn how to be responsible citizens for our planet. There will be crafts, activities, and an opportunity to reuse an everyday household item to plant a seed to take home and grow. The event is free and no registration necessary. The volunteer fair is for people who like being outdoors and meeting new people. Interested persons can meet with the volunteer coordinator to learn about volunteer opportunities available, including trail stewards, historical building hosts, secretarial and special event volunteers. The Kennecuck Environmental Education Center is located at Kennecuck County Park, north of Danville. A container will be set up in Covington City Park in Covington, Indiana, today and also April 28th and 29th to collect electronic waste such as televisions, cell phones, scanners, VCRs, and anything with a cord. Keep Vermilion County Beautiful, Beautiful's Great American Cleanup will be 9 a.m. to noon May 5th at Kennecuck County Park, according to Executive Director Brenda Adams. We are doing trash pickup, trail brush cleanup, and possibly even painting. We are doing our GAC in conjunction with our parent organization, Keep America Beautiful. Their ongoing theme has been Clean Your Block. We want to beautify our county and make it appealing to live, work, and play. Lunch and the raffle drawing will be at noon. KVCB will be selling raffle tickets right up to the drawing at noon. The other site for the May 5th cleanup is the Douglas Discovery Garden. Westville and Georgetown are doing a combined cleanup on April 28th. KVCB will be stationed at both city parks at 9 a.m. April 28th to hand out supplies, assist with cleanups, and sell raffle tickets. We invite everyone in the county to pick a location to assist in a cleanup, and if you aren't able to make it out, clean around your house and your neighborhood. If every person, from young to old, takes pride and responsibility in where they live, shop, go to work, or school, we would not have the litter problem that we see so badly all over the county right now. KVCB is only one fairly small organization, but with everyone working together, we can make a monumental difference, Adams said. Our next article is entitled Construction Started on a New Building at the Waste Site by Jennifer Bailey, Danville. Some more conveniences will be coming to the city's yard waste recycling facility on East Liberty Lane. For the public, there are plans to have a credit card reader available to pay for compost or mulch, or for those who drop off waste and don't have a yard waste sticker. Payment now must be made at the city's Public Works building on Voorhees Street, prior to going to the yard waste site. Yard waste site manager John Barnes also is looking forward to a new office and building where he can work on equipment inside away from the weather. Construction has started on the building, with weather being the holdup. That will be completed this summer and have the office, garage, and shop space. The City Council last year approved a $116,469 contract with FBI Buildings, Inc. of Remington, Indiana, for the post-frame building. It's been 4 years since the city's yard waste recycling site relocated 1 mile east of Bowman Avenue and East Liberty Lane at County Road 2100 North and 1900 East. The city had to vacate its previously leased yard waste site at the Brickyard landfill due to the landfill needing the space. The city also 4 years ago purchased a new horizontal grinder for $366,000 for the yard waste site. Funding came from the solid waste reserve. Once yard waste is picked up from residents, it goes through a screener, is loaded into the grinder. The material is laid in windows to be watered and processed into compost and also mulch. The yard waste site is open 7 a.m. to noon and 1 to 4 p.m., Monday through Thursday, April through November. It's closed Friday through Sundays. Carl Carpenter, superintendent of solid waste and fleet management with the city, said the hours are longer than it had been open in the past. The number of days were shortened, however. There are no Friday hours due to the public works employees working 10-hour, four-day weeks. If a special need arises, an appointment could be made, Carpenter said. The site is manned by Barnes and an auxiliary worker. Less debris. The site has seen fewer tons of debris in the last couple of years. In 2015, the site took in about 886.95 cubic yards of grass, 2,920 cubic yards of leaves, and 6,251 cubic yards of brush, for a total of 1,876.7 tons of debris. 1,876.74 tons of debris. In 2016, the amounts were 1,051 cubic yards of grass, 1,258 cubic yards of leaves, and 2,304 cubic yards of brush, for a total of 1,017 tons of debris. In 2017, there were 853.75 cubic yards of grass, 1,436 cubic yards of leaves, and 2,529 cubic yards of brush, for a total of 1,008 tons of yard waste. Carpenter puts the cause on the city's population decrease and street sweeping. We've gotten pretty aggressive on leaves and street sweeping, Carpenter said. Mulch and compost can be purchased at the yard waste site for $25 a yard. There also is a $30 delivery fee and up to 5 miles outside the city. The drop-off fee for persons without a yard waste sticker is $20 per cubic yard. Carpenter said residents and landscapers bring debris out to the site. Barnes said residents have commented how the site is closer, and it's closer to go to now. We have quite a few regular come out and get mulch and compost every year, he said, adding that he sees new people. The number of yard waste stickers sold also has decreased over the years. The city had seen about 2,400 stickers sold annually in past years. The city still orders 2,500 stickers, but last year the city sold 2,150 stickers. The cost for a yard waste sticker also has doubled since 2011. The sticker for a toter for one calendar year is now $40. Carpenter said Monday and Tuesday pickups for yard waste are the busiest for the city. This is the north side of the city, when 2 to 3 trucks pick up the yard waste set out. One or sometimes two trucks are used on the other weekdays. A portion of a resident's monthly solid waste fee supports the city's yard waste collection and recycling of the more than 1,000 tons annually of material. And now we'll turn to reading of the obituaries. First is for Marcia Cooper, 59, of Covington. Passed away at her home with family by her side on Friday, April 20th, 2018. A celebration of Marcia's life will be held at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Tuesday, April 24th, at Sunset's Covington Chapel, 423rd Street, Covington, Indiana. Burial to follow in Mount Hope Cemetery in Covington. Visitation for Marcia will be on Tuesday, April 24th, 2018, from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time at the funeral home. Jeannie A. Bunting, 88, of Danville, passed away at 7 p.m. Friday, April 20th, 2018, at her home, surrounded by her family. A celebration of Jeannie's life will be held at 11 a.m. Wednesday, April 25th, 2018, at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center, 3940 North Vermilion, Danville. A visitation will be held from 10 to 11 a.m. prior to the service. Burial will be in Sunset Memorial Park. Brian Edward Keller, 50, of Vetersburg, Indiana, passed away Thursday, April 19, 2018, from a farming accident. Visitation will be from 3 to 7 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, Sunday, April 22nd, at Sanders Funeral Care, 203 South 1st Street in Kingman, Indiana. The funeral service will be at 11 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time, Monday, April 23rd, at the funeral home, with Reverend Kent Pitcher and Reverend Ken Pavlik officiating. Burial will follow at Union Cemetery, northeast of Vetersburg. Susanna Suck Walker Smith peacefully transitioned from this life at 10:44 a.m. April 14, 2018, with loving family by her side. A homegoing celebration will commence at noon Tuesday, April 24th, at New Life Church of Faith, 1419 North Bowman Avenue, Danville. Visitation will be from 11 a.m. Tuesday until the time of the service. Officiating, Pastor Michael J. Wright, Carter Metropolitan CMC Internment will be at the Atherton Cemetery. Delna Farmer, 87 of Danville, passed away on Thursday, April 19, 2018. A celebration of life service will be held at 2 p.m. Monday, April 23, 2018, at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center, 3940 North Vermilion Street in Danville. Visitation will be held from 1 to 2 p.m. on Monday at the funeral home. Burial will be in Spring Hill Cemetery in Danville. Elizabeth Libby Barrett Shea, 62, died after a 17-year battle with breast cancer on Monday, April 16, 2018, in Madison, Tennessee. Private burial services will be held at a later date at Calvary Cemetery in Terre Haute, Indiana. Memorials may be made to the Schlarman Academy, Danville, or to your local Humane Society. Ruth I. West, 93, of Kankakee, and formerly of Bradley, passed away Friday, April 20, 2018. The visitation will be 9 to 11 a.m. Tuesday, April 24, 2018, at Our Savior Lutheran Church. The funeral will follow at 11 a.m. with Reverend Emily Sauer officiating. Burial will be at Kankakee Memorial Gardens. Memorials may be made to Hospice of Kankakee Valley or the American Cancer Society. Burton Burt Burns Brackney, 88, of Catlin, went to be with his Lord and Savior Jesus Christ at 12:10 a.m. Friday, April 20, 2018, at home. Funeral services will be at 10 a.m. Tuesday at Robinson Chapel, Catlin, with Joseph Merrick and John Van Vallen officiating. Burial with military honors by Catlin American Legion will be in Oak Ridge Cemetery, Catlin. Visitation will be from 5 to 7 p.m. Monday at Robinson Chapel. Memorials can be made to the International Child Care Ministries in care of Robinson Chapel. Terry E. Brown, 74, of Avon Park, Florida, formerly Danville, passed away Sunday, January 14, 2018. A graveside memorial service with military rites will be conducted at 10:30 a.m. April 28, 2018, at Sunset Memorial Park, Danville. A celebratory gathering will follow at the Grotto, Templeton Funeral Home of Paris, assisted with local arrangements. Susan Marie Parker Foley Henning, 76, of Hoopston, passed away at 9:42 a.m. Thursday, April 19, 2018, at Carl Hoopston Regional Health Center. Visitation will be from 5 to 7 p.m. today, Monday, April 23rd, at the Anderson Funeral Home, 427 East Main Street, Hoopston. Funeral services will be at 11 a.m. Tuesday, April 24, 2018, at the funeral home with the Reverend Frank Lacey officiating. Burial will follow in Floral Hill Cemetery, Hoopston. Memorials may be made to the St. Jude Children's Research Hospital, 262 Danny Thomas Place, Memphis, Tennessee. Delna Farmer, 87, of Danville, passed away Thursday, April 19, 2018. A celebration of life will be at 2 p.m. Monday, April 23, 2018, at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center, 3940 North Vermilion Street, Danville. Visitation will be from 1 to 2 p.m. today at the funeral home. Burial will be in Spring Hill Cemetery, Danville. Janice Johnson, 66, of Kingman, Indiana, died Saturday, April 21, 2018, in Kingman, Indiana. Funeral arrangements were incomplete at Rortfort Funeral Services, Tilton. Therese Mormon, 59, of Danville, died at 1:25 a.m. Sunday, April 22nd, at home. Funeral arrangements were incomplete at Leakin's son's funeral home, Danville. And now I'll turn to a little bit of sports news. Out of Danville track and field, Hall excited to join Dream Team at Illinois by Colin Lycus, Danville. Fifth time's the charm is not a common refrain in any walk of life, yet it turned out to be accurate for Danville senior Philip Hall when it came to determining his post-high school destination. The middle and long-distance runner always planned on taking his talents to the college level. A visit to Bradley was followed by stops at DePaul, with whom he was briefly signed, Illinois State, and Indiana State. Something just wasn't right, though. Sometimes you go through periods where you doubt and you worry, Hall said. I couldn't put my finger on why DePaul wasn't for me. And so a reopened recruitment led to college visit number 5, Illinois. It turned out Coach Jake Stewart's distance program was exactly what Hall was seeking. Hall committed to the Illini earlier this week, announcing his decision via Twitter. I had talked to the U of I back in the fall, and when I went to the Top Times meet, I spoke with the coach there, Hall said. I got to be on campus and see things for myself, and I knew it was the place to be. It's really the perfect decision. Though Hall had grand aspirations when it comes to running, like wanting to become an Olympian one day, being an Illini wasn't always in the cards. In fact, Hall said his initial desire was to attend college far from Danville. That all changed when Hall's father, Michael, fell about 20 feet in a work-related accident last summer and spent about 8 months confined to a wheelchair. I looked at my life and I said, I want to be home for my dad and my mom, Teresa, Hall said. Hall will join former Danville standout Caleb Hummer among the Illinois male runner ranks, in addition to ex-Oakwood star John Davis and current Arthur Lovington Atwood Hammett senior Logan Hall. That also was a draw for Philip Hall, who placed 8th in last year's Class 3A state 800-meter run. As he recalled seeing an online thread about Illinois boasting double-digit former high school state running champs. I was like, this is the Illinois dream team, Hall said. I want to be at a place where I'm pushed to be the best version of myself. Hall saw that potential in academics as well at Illinois. He plans to study political science and later attend law school. More than anything, though, Hall is trying to make an impression on those around him. He acknowledged that a number of Danville area youngsters, including himself at one time, find it challenging to consider a future beyond the city limits, and he's hopeful this decision can help change that stigma. We're in a low-income kind of area, and not a lot of kids see running in college as a possibility. Hall said some kids make it out, but not everybody. I decided I want to be that person everyone looks to and says, wow, if he can do it, I can do it. And here's a little bit of Rediscover Danville, Small Town Fun by Carol Nichols. By most definitions, with over 30,000 residents, Danville would be considered a small city rather than a small town. Our community offers city-like opportunities for entertainment, including a symphony, theater, basketball, hockey, baseball, and more. But this weekend, there are opportunities for the kinds of simple entertainment one might find in a small town. On Friday, Danville High School, Northridge Middle School, and Southview Upper Elementary will provide an evening of singing and dancing from 7 to 10 p.m. in the Dick Van Dyke Auditorium at Danville High School. Whether you have children in the wonderful show, come out and enjoy a magical evening of entertainment where your $5 goes to support our school. Saturday morning, Danville Farmers Market will have a dress rehearsal from 8 to noon in the parking lot of Crossroads Church. It's a test run for the vendors and the shoppers. There will be garden plants, early produce, and other goodies for sale. I'm not blind to the problems we face in our community. Unlike others, Danville recognizes its challenge and its people come together to discuss the issues and find solutions to create a better place to live for all its citizens. It's this community spirit, along with a combination of small-town feel with small-city opportunities, that makes Danville such a special place to be. Rediscover Danville. This has been Dee with the Vermilion County News for April 23, 2018. Have a great day, and I look forward to reading with you again soon.